let her know that she can join, and Jim, she can take over the reporting duties then.
Okay, I'm going to bring in Scott Plappinger as a listener.
Okay.
And I'm going to call back in on a different phone, so I'll be right back. This is Martin.
Yep, it's good, Katya. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'm just going to sit back.
Everyone else just doing a cascade, right?
Yeah. What a good idea.
Why didn't I think of that?
Oi. All of a sudden I've turned Jewish. I don't
know. Oi.
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 It's been a long day.
Answer.
Okay. I hear ringing. There's
okay,
a ring.
That should be Scott Plappinger.
Okay.
Mark Frost.
And Martin's back in. Okay.
Is there anything official we have to do?
Katya Sabin. Hi.
Hi, Katya.
Hi. Okay.
All right, Katya, we already took the call to order and the roll call prior to the executive session, so we're now up to the approval of the agenda. There is one change I need to make to the agenda at this point, and that is item 6C, and that should read Jim Maxwell, Mike and Marilyn Sullivan be appointed as membership directors.
And just Mike and Marilyn?
It should be Jim, Mike, and Marilyn are all going to be titled membership director. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone
can I get,
else?
Just for my own information, can I get a quick rundown on who's here?
Yeah. Yep.
Or maybe it's easier to say who isn't here.
Actually, everyone is here. All board members are present, including Martin Frost is here, John Satriano is here, and Scott Plappinger is here as well. Scott is going to be working on a project in North Carolina, we hope.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Anyone else have anything, any other changes or corrections on the minutes or on the agenda before we move on? If not, anyone, I'd like to have the agenda approved by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Okay, if not, that passes by unanimous consent. Previous minutes from July 19th and 21st, Jim, I never got a copy of those. We never got them posted.
I did send them to Joyce a couple of days ago, and then she corrected me and said that Katya was going to be posting those to the website now.
Okay.
I have a copy of it. I did not know that I needed to post it for the board to read.
That's all right.
Well, and I had emailed them to the board directly.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I read mine.
Okay. Do you want me to resend them?
I may have just missed it. Did everyone else read them?
No.
No?
I did.
Okay. Ah. Is it possible for us to wait until our next meeting to approve those minutes?
We've done that in the past.
Okay. Let's
it's just possibly just have to remember to do it.
Yeah. Let's just do that because then we have everything else we have to deal with yet tonight.
I would make a note though, just because of how under the microscope we are, of why this was not past minutes. It's not that there's some controversy, simply because of a technical problem.
And not exactly. All board members have had a chance to review the
right.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Make a note of that, Katya?
I'm noting that down.
Okay.
At least one board member hadn't. Others had.
I did not get a chance to read. This is Sandy.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Sandy.
Okay, moving on to the reports then. We just had the 2007 festival report. We didn't have this on the agenda, but Katya, do you have anything to add for 2006, or are you going to make that report at a later time?
I do want to try and write up some kind of closure thing. I want to do that when I have all the numbers in a row. But in general, we haven't had any Afterfest fallout, no, you know, huge bills that were unexpected, you know, a couple of things where, you know, it's like, okay, well, we'll just pay that and not worry about it. But there was one small incident of a miscommunication where, you know, somebody thought something else had happened, and so I got to play mediator between two people who were angry at each other. But once that got sorted out, I think that was the only little glitch. I hear that Michelle Gerdes is doing well, and we did do a refund for her.
Yes, they sent a card and whatnot.
Yeah, and let's see, and we also donated the price of a Diablo to help start restocking the Vanilla Town boys who had gotten their car busted into while they were doing a performance for us.
Oh.
So, okay. So those are the two, you know, donations we made to assist fellow jugglers.
Okay.
Who were assisting us. So.
Okay.
But in general, things went really well, and it was a great festival, and I think we got a lot of good, positive feedback.
Well, thank you for all you did. Good job.
Yes, thank you.
Great job.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for letting me do it for you.
Sure. As far as the 2007 championship, Dan Holdsman did send me a proposal about a new scoring procedure. He had asked to call into this meeting. I asked, can I just email it to the board and, you know, pick it up at our September meeting, because we had way too much on our plate at this point. And he agreed to that. So did everyone happen to get that email?
I got it.
I did.
I got it.
Okay.
Is that stage championships or all the championships?
It would be for
the individuals, the juniors,
and team.
The teams.
Yeah. That would be the stage championships.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And he will, you know, get us all up to speed in September on that. And that's where we are there.
So I think we have to table that, don't we, here?
Well, it's not a motion, so do we need to...
Yeah, it's just a report.
It's a report.
Oh. No.
Okay, finances. Yay. I'm so sick and tired of looking at numbers, it isn't funny. however, I'm assuming that... Is there anyone who did not get the financial report, even with its open-endedness? Anyone
not
get it?
To board members only.
Yes.
Since I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Board members, has anyone not seen it? I did send a new copy today with some other blanks filled in, and have not calculated out the final, but right now, just as an overview for those that don't have a balance sheet in front of them, I cannot get the username and passwords yet for Guaranty Bank and for Wells Fargo. Jack McMichael opened the Wells Fargo Bank a couple years ago and has not gotten back to me with how to access that information. Guaranty Bank was opened by Andrew Conway, and he has sent me a username and password to check it online. Joyce has sent me a different password to try online.
Sandy Brown.
Hey, Sandy.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Oh.
Andrew and Joyce both sent me the same username but different passwords to check our account at Guaranty, and none of them work. When I called the Guaranty Bank, they said, we are not set up for online banking. And I don't know whether we've gotten any kind of financial reports from them, any kind of receipts or that from them.
Kim, can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
I did a web search for Guaranty Bank when I was trying to figure out where that other account was.
Mm-hmm.
There may be two or more different Guaranty Banks. You may have called the wrong one. I mean, I'm not saying you did, but... Just make sure we got the right one.
Well, Andrew sent me...
Because it was online, I thought.
Andrew sent me the website information.
Okay.
And he sent me the web address, and that's the one I called.
Okay.
And they're saying that we do have an account there.
Good.
It's just not an online account Unfortunately, the number I had called is only for online banking. I need to call the regular bank during the day and did not get a chance to do that today. So I will get that information. It's just a matter of tracking it down. However, even without those two accounts, we currently have a balance of $255,724.13.
How much of that is devoted to life members?
$123,363.24.
So that's a little
bit
over half
of it.
Yeah.
A little less than half, actually. And that's something that I looked at today, and in fact, I just got done talking on the phone with Stan about before our meeting, is I took notice when I was going through the Vanguard account. The Vanguard is the account that houses our life membership money. That money, the interest accrued from that account has been rolled back over for at least the past 2 or 3 years. Even the interest has not been touched, it's just been rolled over. Stan was under the impression that that interest from that account was being used in part to pay Juggle Magazine's bill. I don't know who had told him that, but he said he was informed of that, you know, when he picked up the contract.
How much interest are we talking about?
We are talking about just right around $9,000 a year.
Wow.
In interest. Currently, for at least the last 2 years, the life members really have not been putting in any money towards the magazine. So that is something that when we talk about the magazine a little bit later, we need to keep in mind that we do have the interest amount, even if we don't use it all. If we only use $6,000 of the interest from that account, that's going to help us with the magazine.
Kim, was that 4.2? Why am I thinking, how much interest was there, is that account making?
To be honest, off the top of my head, I don't remember. I want to say it's like 4.2 or 4.25.
Okay.
So it's earning a decent amount of interest. I also did a breakdown, a monthly breakdown of expenses for the IJA over the last 7 months, and just sort of did basically a budget type thing where here's how much we need on average per month to pay our bills. Now, I included the 2006 estimated FEST budget. I included Alan Plotkin's fees for DVDs and whatnot. I also included Juggle Magazine. And right now, we are spending just slightly over $15,000 per month if you do a month-by-month breakdown. On all of our expenses, that's our cell phone, our supplies, our postage, the FEST, if we were to break it out over 12 months. And we are bringing in, on average, I believe it was $18,000 per month. So we're bringing in roughly $2,500 to $3,000 each month above what we need to pay our bills.
This is based on old contract.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, that's with the old contract, though.
Okay, so with the new contract being, what, way over $2,500, that would put us at a deficit, right? If we went with the new one.
You mean the magazine contract?
Right.
I
mean, if we continue paying whatever the new figure is,
$7,000.
That's more than.
Yeah.
Sorry, say that again.
It's $78,000, but that is still that is something that's not yet negotiated.
Yeah.
Well, that's about $2,500 more per month than we've been paying in the past. It's $13,000. Sorry, that's for 2 months. Okay.
Right. It comes out that if we take that interest from the life member fund, that we would come within $8,000 of what Alan is asking for in his contract.
Come within, that means $8,000 less?
We would need $8,000 more yet from some source.
Kim, what festival income are you counting in this? What year?
I counted the 2006 estimated.
Okay.
What Katja had given us as the estimated cost of the festival.
Okay. And cost and income.
Cost and income. Yeah,
okay.
So
that's
kind of
a... That's good because that's a conservative year.
Right.
For festival income.
Yeah. So are there any other questions on the balance sheets that I did send to the board?
Mm-hmm. I have two adding questions. One,
sure.
Are we intending to, close some of those accounts and move it all more toward one bank?
That's the other thing I would like to address with finances is I do have a motion on tonight's agenda to move the net bank assets into Bank of America. Bank of America is just a lot easier to work with. You can walk into a branch when we've had any kind of question or needed some help. I would like to at least move the net bank money for right now. PayPal, we have to leave where it is because we can transfer funds over from PayPal to another account, like Bank of America or Net Bank, if we stay with them. But
You want to move the $58,000 into Bank of America?
Yeah.
Kim, I just need to make sure I understand. You said we're $8,000 in the red. Is that correct? And that's going to be in the 2006-2007 budget? Is that under the presumption that we are – I'm sorry, I keep cutting out.
That's okay.
Is that under the presumption that we are accepting the $78,000?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
So we still are in a deficit. We're paying to make and.
You're breaking up, Sandy.
Oh, you're cut. You're breaking out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can hear you guys. I'll just pipe in when I'm clear about it now. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I think, and this is liable to be where you were going with this because I know we've talked about it. It is not figuring in any kind of membership dues increase.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
I did not figure that in yet, so
that
would more
great.
Than make up for it there. We could actually make up for the entire deficit with those
but
two items.
But do keep in mind that it does use the life member interest, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah. It's something we haven't used and we probably should have been using all along. And as I said, Stan was under the assumption that that was being used for juggle because otherwise the life members aren't paying in toward the magazine at all. It's being left to the rest of the general membership.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
it was being used just before the staff retired.
Right. But for at least the last 2 to 3 years that I look back, it hasn't been.
Right.
So.
Don, are you there?
I am.
I wanted to hear your thoughts about this because I know that you've been, concerned about this whole issue of the difference. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, if we're getting over 4% on the life membership fund, that's presumably a certificate of deposit that goes for several years. The question is, can we reinvest it at that rate or greater? If we're rolling into a relatively high interest return, there's no point in not going for that. Whether we take it out now or whether we take it out later, it's sort of a call as to what the investment strategy is.
Uh-huh.
So we can always keep it as sort of a bookkeeping item that the life membership fund owes us a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Bob. I think we have to look at realistically when we're talking about the magazine that, you know, if everyone's cost increases, the life members, you know, that interest should come off it. I mean, it wasn't fixed back when they paid, although that's the problem, it was fixed. But, I mean, we need to charge them off their interest for increases in the cost of the magazine, too, because we're sending X amount to them, they need to have the same increase that the rest of the membership does.
That's true. I guess my only point there was that essentially that's our money, even though we allocate it to service exam.
this is Jim. It sounds like the discussion we were having earlier, where it's just a matter of how you account for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But politically, yes, we should be using proceeds from that to subsidize the magazine to some extent.
Okay. Any other questions on the balance sheets themselves or any of the numbers that are on here?
I have a question. The archive account that's in Vanguard,
mm-hmm.
Where did that money come from?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm still trying to sort some things out because on this Vanguard account, two of the accounts, one of them being the archive, and I believe the other one's the general account, still have Richard Dingman's name on them as account manager. So that's how...
How much is in the archive total account?
$38,574.07.
That's probably almost entirely from auctions, then. That's slightly above what it was before, and each year we've made $2,000 to $3,000 in the auction. So I think that's mostly archive funds made through the auction, which was the intent of the auction.
Okay.
Okay, and then I have another issue, and that is that just in the last month, we've received a donation from Paul Grimes specifically for establishing a digital archive for all members. So my question is, should that money be shifted to the archive account? And if so, by what means? That's not something we really need to take up this meeting with, but just know that we are getting a money, and it is matched by Microsoft, his employer.
Great.
So that seems to be a steady source of income that should be earmarked for the archive.
And we should we should definitely thank this man.
Absolutely.
Right. I would like to. I'm going to send a plant and a card to Lois Markowitz on Monday. And I also wouldn't mind taking care of Mr. Grimes's whatever thank you. We want to do that, and we can do that on the board forum and discuss that.
That's great. Yeah, but that should go in the archive account, and
right.
I'm sure it should. I'll have to check with how we go about making deposits into Vanguard, because it's all
making a motion of thanks officially in the minutes.
What was that?
Should we not be making a motion of thank you in the minutes?
No. A motion to thank him? Well,
we can do that under the new business once we get there.
Jim,
right now we're still on
dollars?
Report. Excuse me?
Jim, was that a few hundred dollars, this donation, or is this?
That was, the first donation was, let me see here. The first donation was $240, so it was $120 from him and $120 from Microsoft. This last one was $300 total, so $150 from each.
Are you expecting more?
Well, given that these two have come in two consecutive months, it wouldn't surprise me. But no, I don't know if there is. I'm assuming he's got like a payroll withdrawal.
Yeah.
Great.
Thing set up.
Wonderful. Yay. Okay. Any more questions on finances?
How's it going getting everyone passwords? I mean, the ability to. Fine or whatever.
Well, as soon as I get everything figured out as to whose names are on that haven't been around for a while, and I'll filter the new stuff through. The only thing I have the signing forms ready for right now is Bank of America, which I can get out to you guys at any time, and I can do that this week. We had a question last time as to whether we were going to put all board members' names on as authorized signers or if we were only going to do a few. And, Will, the only question I have with the banks is, can you be an authorized signer? Because some banks require that you be 21 to be an authorized signer for an organization like this. So I have to check on that as well.
Okay.
But I will get that out to everybody. Also with finances, just as part of the report, and this is a motion that I would like to throw on to the agenda once we get there. Bob, do you want to say anything on this, or should I just...
Sure.
Are you still willing to do it?
Yes.
Okay. Bob has volunteered to take over the treasurer duties. I'm going to continue to do the bookkeeping for him, but he has agreed to do the bill paying and all that kind of fun stuff so that we are not in violation of our bylaws that say that the chair cannot be treasurer.
Thank you, Bob.
Be maintaining the QuickBooks?
Yeah, thank you.
Tim?
I'll be maintaining QuickBooks, yeah. I'll be doing the bookkeeping part of it. So,
is that enough of a separation of the duties for it to not conflict?
Well, this is Bob. I've been treasurer of several organizations before this, and this was before even Kim came on board. And the treasurer normally in organization, somebody who simply writes checks that are approved by a board or, you know, whoever's in charge. And the other things are done, in my experience at least, in professional organizations, by either paid professionals or other people. So, like I say, I'm more than willing to take on that charge of being the counterbalance, because what you want is a check and balance. So that
right.
somebody sends me a you know, thing like John with his, you know, test says, I need $50 for this, and I go to Kim, and Kim says, hey, or whoever, and like say, I think the board should probably approve major expenses, but and you just have the checks and balances, so that somebody is not just in charge of everything, and that is my, you know, vision of this. And that's what I'm volunteering for. I'm not volunteering to do the 990s because I have no expertise in that. I'm simply being the treasurer, which is basically writing checks for expenses, keeping track of them, and then letting somebody know, be it the chair or an accountant or whoever. And, you know, like I say, because I have no expertise in taxes, I don't prefer my own taxes, so I'm not going to do ours.
Well,
thing that, that basically the reason for separation of chairman and treasurer is so the chairman can't just sort of steal the money because he or she is the only person knowing what's going on, knowing what's in the bank. And, I mean, that's sort of a reasonable thing, that basically there should be at least two people who see the bank statements and see the expenses and validate the fact that money isn't disappearing.
Right.
So
and, yeah,
more than one person needs to see the bank statements.
Yeah, Kim, if, you know, every month or so, what was emailed to the rest of the board was an update on the account. That's never been done. You know, so that the board is aware of, you know, what we have in our account.
Right. And not to be off topic, but Passing Zone is on America's Got Talent next, and they're going to pass sickles around David Hasselhoff.
Oh, awesome.
All right, what number are they?
What number are they, Rob?
It's a shame they're such good jugglers.
He thinks it's 07, so.
We have to wait until the end of the show to call in anyway.
Yeah, so we have to end this by 10 o'clock so we can all be dialing like crazy.
But anyway, with the treasurer things, I'm more than comfortable taking over that duty. And like I say, Kim cleared up to me what it expected, because like I said before with the old board, certain things were expected that I was not comfortable with. We, you know, with getting our names in account, as we can see, it's still a problem. But I mean, as long as it's just writing checks and doing that, and as long as it, you know, eases our transition, that we're not in violation, I have no problem with it.
Is this something that needs to be appointed?
Yeah. We'll have to do that under under which one?
New business, I would think.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, because he's new into the position.
Right.
It's not being continued. Okay. So we'll add that as item 7E.
One last question.
Sure.
Is that is this, you know, this division of duties and everything, I understand the purpose behind it, Is this intended to be a quick fix while we still continue to look for a volunteer and or a professional treasurer slash bookkeeper, or are we going to be satisfied with this and stop the search?
Personally, I would say that to continue the search.
Okay.
Only because it would be really nice. It's nice having board members involved with everyday operations besides just the board stuff. However, Jim, as you're, I'm sure, learning, it gets to be a lot.
Yeah.
And I know the last 2 weeks, the hours that I put in on the financial report alone just for the first half of the year. And it kind of takes your mind off of some of the other things that we should be addressing, you know, looking into different cost-cutting measures for the magazine and whatnot. I did have two people that approached me at the fest and said they were interested in being treasurer, and the one gentleman has gotten back in touch with me a few times. I just can never remember his name, rather tall guy with glasses and a mustache.
Yeah.
But he hasn't gotten back to me to say, yes, I'll do it. He did tell me he has a Bank of America right across the street from his store that he owns, so where he does his own banking. So, you know, that's a benefit.
Andy Brown.
So.
Yeah, this is Bob again. I'd just like to make it clear. I want everybody to be clear what I'm volunteering for.
Right.
You know, I volunteer to write checks. I am not volunteering to be in charge of money at the next fest, because I won't do that. I could easily make deposits like Jim first did volunteer to. But, yeah, I don't want to sit at a desk for the whole fest and take money in. And that is, you know, like I say, I'm trying to help out here. But, you know, hopefully by then we'll find somebody, because in the past, even Dave Davis said, board members should not be taking on these crucial jobs, because their really job is direction of the IJA. And the more you spend on, let's say, bookkeeping, accounting, membership, is drawing you away from, you know, trying to get a direction for the IJA in the future. And I agree with him, you know. So, and one of the few things he's right, I mean, it really bogs you down, because all of a sudden you've got a job that you're working on, and you can't work on the future, you know, and it is a problem with us.
Okay, any other questions or comments on that? All right, moving quickly on to insurance. we have the insurance to offer to our membership. It will, the price that I've quoted in the magazine, and Alan has been putting together a full-page ad with all the information about the insurance through Paxil and how to go about obtaining the insurance. Just to keep the number safe, we kept it at $300 per member for the year. That will cover a professional juggler that is a member in good standing of the IJA. And that is a $1 million liability policy. It covers each IJA member that is performing for $1 million in liability insurance. In turn, I spoke with Randy at Paxil. It will also cover clubs. So any, and Randy from Paxil set the number at 5, that a club must have at least 5 IJA members in order to get the reduced rate insurance. It would again be $300 a year to provide that club with a $1 million policy. And Jim, I know your club holds a festival each year, is that right?
Yep.
If your club were to buy this insurance, it will not only cover your weekly meetings, it would also cover your festival, including public show.
Okay.
Going
back to the individual member benefits,
mm-hmm.
That only covers them if they are performing. And what criteria are in place to to prove that they were indeed performing as opposed to just juggling knives in the backyard? And
well, they would have to, I mean, if they wanted to get liability, and it, see, it doesn't cover the performer themselves from injury. It's not an injury insurance.
All right.
This is a regular performer's, you know, people coming in to see you type thing. Paxil will provide each person who subscribes to this insurance a certificate of insurance.
Okay.
They have one girl in their office who does all the certificates of insurance for all performers and all clubs. And all you have to do is say, I'm going out to perform somewhere at a school or something, and they say, you need a certificate of insurance for this particular performance. All our member would have to do, all I would have to do is call or fax, I forget the girl's name off the top of my head, but the woman at Paxil, within an hour, she will have that certificate of insurance either to the place that you need it sent to or faxed back to you. Either or, she can do.
This is Katra. What is the name? Can you spell the name of that insurance company for me?
Sure. It's P as in Paul, A-C as in Charles, Z as in Zebra, O-L-T.
Got it.
So it will, Jim, are you presently taking over as affiliates in conjunction with your membership duties?
Well, that was based, I mean, I certainly can, but right now Rick is still affiliates director pro tem, and you know, I think we're waiting on a letter to go to all the volunteers to see if they want to remain in that position.
That email went out, and Rick has declined.
Okay.
Right. So my question here then would be, let's assume whomever is doing the affiliate's job, then so that person would, of course, then guarantee that there are five members, IJA members in each club. And
the club, the way Randy explained it to me is all money, all purchases of this insurance would go through the IJA.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it would go, it could be a button on our store. If it is a club, they would have to submit a list of IJA members who belong to their club.
Yep.
And Randy and the girl in his office would already have the list of IJA members. They would need our complete roster.
Oh, great.
And they take care of checking all of that to make sure that those five members are indeed current IJA members in good standing.
Nice.
Okay. My next question regarding the group insurance, and particularly for covering festivals and public shows, because we're receiving city money here in Austin, we have to name the city of Austin as insured on our policy, and also we have to have a waiver of subrogation. Now, I don't even pretend to know what that means, but would that be a possibility? And you may have to check back with Paxil.
Yeah, I'll have to check with Randy on that. You said it's called a waiver of...
of subrogation.
Segregation.
Is that involving other insurance coverage?
We have to provide proof of insurance to the city before...
No, but the subrogation term...
Okay.
I'm sure they will write the city as an additional insured. That's a standard practice.
Yeah.
I'll check with Randy tomorrow on that and email everyone and let them know the answer to that one. I'll tell you what, he had a lot of his bases covered already when I called up to ask questions that we had in Portland as far as, you know, how many do you need in an affiliate club to get coverage? And he just rattled off, you know, information to me. And it comes because he's dealing with Puppeteers of America and other associations that are very similar to ours. So he was very helpful.
So it's only IJA affiliate clubs who have a festival?
No.
They don't have to have a festival. No,
I mean, but if there is a festival, the festival has to be affiliated with an affiliate. They have to be the
I don't think so. Tim, did you say any club?
club just has to have at least 5 IJA members on it.
Does not have to be an IJA affiliate.
Right.
Okay. Oh, okay. So somebody can have a festival, and they do not have to be involved with an affiliate.
They just have to have 5 IJA members in their organization.
In their okay.
In their organizing team.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I have a question. Was the 5 members something that we came up with or something that Paxil came up with?
Paxil suggested that because of their research into different juggling clubs. He was doing his homework. He actually contacted at least 25 different clubs that he ran down a list for me of 20
wow.
different clubs that he contacted.
Wow.
And he found that a lot of clubs could say they had maybe, you know, 5-6 IJA members, some of the bigger clubs. Other clubs had none. But
yeah.
like he said, all of them said with this type of insurance, they're sure they could dig up IJA members, you know, people to join.
Yeah, I was
is
just
what
wondering
he meant.
If it might have made more sense to do something percentage-wise. So
well,
that
they can't do it that way.
Percentage-wise, clubs, most juggling clubs don't have a roster. So there's no percent, nothing,
right.
no count to be a percent of.
Right.
John Fetri.
Sorry, not to be, like, argumentative, I don't know. How are they going to know that there are 5 members, then, if they don't have a list of members?
Well, they don't necessarily have to be members per se, but they just have to give 5 names of active IJA members.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly does open it up to abuse, you're right.
Right.
So, you know, this probably bears some more thought and discussion. But.
And we can, you know, revisit it. We can change it, you know, if we see it becomes a problem. Going any higher, and I know clubs like the Reading Jugglers Club would never be able to get 10 IJA members. They don't usually get 10 members at their club. And yet they run a festival and, you know, are very interested in the insurance.
Kim, I assume this means a $5 family member also?
All we list is IJA members.
So that would include that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a question on timing. We join, we publish a roster every couple of months. They want their insurance right away. Are we going to have some mechanism for letting these guys know that, yes, somebody joined yesterday?
Insurance needs to be bought on a yearly basis on the anniversary date, and that is explained in Juggle Magazine in this next issue coming up.
If I join the IJA tomorrow
mm-hmm.
and I want to sign up for insurance, the roster is...
It would only start till next year, right?
Well, any additions that come onto the roster, like as you're purchasing the insurance for this coming year,
mm-hmm.
We can submit an updated list at any time.
Yes.
So we can verify, and if they aren't sure, they can always call, you know,
yes.
call our membership person to double check.
Just questioning how much extra energy that's going to take for membership.
Yeah.
I
have a question about that. So you were saying that the insurance only goes out at the first of the year, right?
Mm-hmm. So actually, they would like it to run December through December.
Okay, December to December. So
yeah.
Say I go to the Summer Festival, sign up for the IJA there, and also try to sign up for this insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the insurance won't kick in until December?
So January 1st.
Okay. And then say I don't renew my membership at the next Summer Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm still receiving insurance for the next 6 months when I'm not a member, right?
No, once your membership lapses, your name is, you can't be on the insurance anymore. They won't send you the certificate of insurance.
So then, like, if you sign up, say, in January, then... you're always going to be getting, there will always be a span of like 11 months where you won't get insurance but will have paid for it?
Well, no.
You just have to renew before your expiration date.
Right.
Well, okay, and that's assuming indefinite membership. So, like, as long as I stay a member for 10 years, then it won't matter to me anymore?
Yeah. If you continue to stay a member, you can renew your insurance every year, and there shouldn't be no issue.
Right. This is the way they work it with their other organizations, and from what he said, they've had very little problem with it at all. As long as it was made clear to the membership up front that the insurance runs from whatever date, say December 1st through December 1st of the next year. And that's
I thought
what,
you said January 1st was, so December 31st would be the standard.
And we can switch that. I mean, he wanted to get in the December to December thing instead of going January to January. But that's still open if we need it to be.
So this is Jim. It sounds like, though, that it will require a regular membership report to be submitted to PacZolt so that they know whose memberships are current. And my question, I guess, is how regular would they need that report?
I asked him that, and he said the other organizations just send a quarterly report. And if someone has applied for the insurance that is not on their list, they will double check with the membership director before they go ahead and issue any insurance or reject the insurance.
Okay.
Kim, this is Katja. May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Perhaps, so whoever's a membership person will have to tell whoever is doing the magazine, they're going to have to send updated listings of membership to generate labels. Perhaps the insurance company could be CC'd on that same email and two birds and one stone.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Right. And Martin, do you not receive the juggle labels from Mike and Marilyn?
I do, and I also receive other updates more often. I receive an update every couple of weeks generally.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm sure Mike can generate one for the insurance folks and send them a copy of whatever they send me if they want it that often.
Sure. I have one more question, Kim.
Sure.
And that is, what about our own insurance to insure our organization and to insure our festival? Are we also moving to PacZolt, or are we continuing to go with Hartford?
The rest of the board, right now we're still with Hartford. The rest of the board had asked me in Portland at our last meeting to check into what it would cost us to move to PacZolt if we could get, you know, some sort of group discount rate since
uh-huh.
we're doing this other thing. Randy is still getting those prices together. He has a copy of our current insurance and is working off of our current insurance because he needed to know numbers as far as what we're insured for and how we're insured.
Sure.
Are you talking about director's liability insurance or fest insurance?
No, that's just the liability fest insurance.
Okay.
The directors,
we have two actual coverages through Hartford, and one is the director's business insurance, and then the other is for the specifically for the dates of the festival.
Our contact person at Hartford said the director's insurance is no longer valid.
Yeah, it lapsed last year.
Ah.
And that's a major concern, and that was going to be the next thing on insurance that I brought up because we really need to get that in place.
Absolutely.
And I have asked both our representative from Hartford as well as Randy from PacZolt to get me price quotes on those items so that we can get that taken care of as quickly as possible and get that back in place. So just so all the directors and know that we have no insurance for ourselves right now.
That is a very bad piece of news.
Yes, it is, and it came as a big surprise to me when I called Hartford last week and asked him about it because I wanted to find out how much we were paying for the financial report, and he said, "You don't have it. It lapsed."
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when nobody's paying the bills, and you know, from next year.
And I would say that, you know, not just, you know, the bookkeeper and treasurer, but I think this underscores the need for us ultimately to go back to having a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would point out that when we did have the general manager, they forgot to pay it too.
Good point.
It's just a matter of keeping up with things, and from what our representative at Hartford told me is he was told, and he couldn't recall by whom, but he was told that the director's insurance was no longer necessary, and that's why the IJA was allowing it to lapse.
Oh, really?
Can't imagine any director saying that.
He couldn't identify anyone, and I didn't push the issue. I was just, okay, just get me a quote as fast as you can.
How much does that cost?
I don't know, but he should be getting back to me any day now with the information, as well as Randy from Paxalt.
I have, like, no concept for how much. Are we talking, like, hundreds, thousands?
Probably 1,000 or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think 3,000 to 5,000.
I don't think it's that much.
I don't think so either. I've got a copy of the IJA's policy from the Davenport Festival, and it includes both. And there it is. It includes both the festival and the board. Let's see.
DNO.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, while we're waiting for that number, the passing zones number is 07.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question about the board director's insurance. Is that something that is indeed strictly limited to board members? I know that. I would suggest that we add the festival director onto that list if we can. I know that for myself, for Buffalo, I got an umbrella policy strictly for myself because Jay Butler scared the crap out of me about being too happy. So I got myself an umbrella policy.
It was listed as Hartford originally, from what our contact person said, as directors and officers.
Okay.
CNO, it's pretty standard.
Yeah.
John, is that something that you'd like to be in on?
It would cover him.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yes,
okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
From the way it was explained to me, it covers all of our directors and coordinators, you know.
One thing that sort of needs to be specified is who are the officers.
Mm-hmm.
The bylaws call for officers to be appointed by the board, but we have a lot of volunteers who take on jobs not necessarily appointed by the board, but the term officer needs to be clarified. Maybe all of these people who are volunteers are officers, but they're not listed. I mean, originally that was basically secretary, treasurer, and, you know, I don't know, vice president or whatever, secretary and treasurer mostly, and festival chairman. Those were the officers. So now we have lots of them.
Kim, this is Katja. There's no moat on the floor, and you have a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah, we do.
I just want to encourage you to
absolutely
keep the agenda rolling.
I can wrap this up by answering the question about our coverage from 2 years ago. The premium dates were from June 14th of 05 to June 14th of 06. And the total premium was $602. That was $340 business liability, $250 special event, and $12 terrorism premium.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
So what's the total?
You don't want the regular terrorism. You want the premium.
That's right. $602 was the total premium for the year.
Okay.
Peace of mind.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'd like to go a little bit out of order. Jim, do you have any information on membership?
Very little, and I mean, it's fairly insignificant if you want to skip it.
Okay, fine with us. Sandy, anything about the store?
Only that Steve Healy has also refused to be in touch with me as he was with Joyce. I am not going to tolerate that for another week, and I would like the board to... just give me the go-ahead to have somebody move our stuff out and ship it to me. and then have the rest of it taken to a recycling center. Steve Healy said it was going to be at my house the last 2 weeks. He's never returned one email, and I'd like to take him out of the equation and then just have Bob Bishop take care of this for me as soon as he gets through with Bud's funeral.
Okay, so if we keep that in mind then as we're going through new business, someone may want to make a motion, even Sandy yourself, if you want to make a motion to that effect.
Okay.
And
I don't know if you need a motion for that.
Okay.
Let Sandy do what Sandy needs to do to get her job done.
Okay. I'm fine with it. Does anybody oppose to Sandy moving the items that are there?
No problem. No.
It's going to be pricey, but I feel as though all of our DVDs are sitting in his warehouse, and we're paying for it on a monthly basis, and I just can't tolerate that anymore. So I'll take all the DVDs, and I'll take about 50 issues of each Juggler's World in the newsletters, and then we'll take the rest of it to recycling. I'll probably drive out to Winston-Salem next July, and we'll have a huge IJA table and sell a lot of things there. And Andrew, I've already talked to him about that possibility. And I know he sold in a short period of time, about $3,000 worth of VHSs in Portland. So I expect that...
DVDs.
No, I thought it was old VHSs, but
no.
I could be wrong.
No, there were no tapes.
Okay. So he sold stuff.
Okay.
And so I'd like to just go ahead and follow through with this and get this done.
Yeah. I say just go for it. So.
Okay.
I didn't hear any dissension. So... Okay, moving on to continuing business and actually getting to some motions here.
Taking magazine out of reports?
Yeah, because I have a feeling we're going to be discussing it here anyway.
Okay.
So we'll just discuss it as a continuing business item. There's a lot of information about the magazine. I was on the phone for about a half hour with Alan today going through different options. Cutting pages. Excuse me?
Before we get to the magazine, did we have to, like, say officially that we were giving Scott Plappinger permission to film?
What?
What? I'm confused. Can you restate that?
Sorry. I anticipated the magazine taking a long time to discuss. And I never saw on the agenda. I thought the last meeting we had. Or was that, had that decision already been made and it just wasn't up to the board but assumed?
Are you adding to the agenda? I missed what the subject.
I'm not sure he's on that. He's not on for new business. Is he?
No.
He's just visiting
in. That is just sitting in. That's all.
This is John Satriano. That's not really a time-sensitive issue,
yeah.
The board's very busy. It's something that can wait. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
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 Let's get on to the magazine.
Do we have a motion on the table, or is there going to be a motion? Because the thing I have has blanks where...
Yeah, I know. And that's because... I used a format that maybe I shouldn't have.
That's okay. I can fill in the blanks.
Yeah, because we sort of need a little more discussion here. Something that just came up tonight is using the life member interest, if at least part of it, to help offset the cost of the magazine. And we've all been talking about the different options. Personally, in my eyes, and I'm sure all of you probably see this too, Quantum's proposal is just way above our means. Anyone opposed to that? I mean, just way, way above our means. And again, this is my personal opinion here, for as nice as the DVD offer sounds, I just don't think our membership is ready for strictly a DVD edition of a magazine. I know too many members, young and old alike, who have already said, you know, they don't want a DVD, they want a magazine in hand. it's something that we can maybe, you know, filter in, but they want that magazine. I have talked to Alan today since his print magazine proposal is the lowest price we got. He said we can go to a lower grade of paper, which he would hate to do because that will cheapen the look of the magazine and not be the quality that he would like it to be. We can go from doing color pages to just everything in black and white. That would help to lower the price.
Can you give us numeric improvements to the cost from those?
He was not able to do that because it was just today, and he wasn't able to crunch numbers because he's trying to get the next edition of Juggle out. He said if we wanted to wait on this decision and possibly hold a meeting next Wednesday night just on the decision of the magazine, that he can get us some numbers that we can discuss. And the way it's sounding is we need some time to sort of look at our finances now that we actually have a balance sheet and now that we've discovered that we haven't been using any of the Life member money toward the magazine. It just seems like we need a little bit more discussion time to put things together. That's my thought. Anybody else?
I was interested in the comment you made about 3 or 4 days ago, Kim, mm-hmm. regarding eliminating two full sheets in each issue. I like that idea.
The problem is, and I talked with Alan about that, the runs are done in stacks of 16.
Yeah.
16 pages.
Yeah.
So in order for us to take out two sheets, which would be the equivalent of 8 pages, we would actually have to run all of them and have those extra sheets stored until the next issue and then hope that we would catch up in the long run and balance out in the end.
So you could take out 16 pages.
Yeah, but then 16 pages runs us down to
16 pages.
No, 32.
32 40, pages, 40
currently.
Which then gets a little bit sparse. So they're all things we can look at. They're all things that Alan is happy to give us prices on and price comparisons. It's just he was not going to get it done by tonight's meeting when I called him, well, hit 9:30 this morning his time.
Should we not say, for example, what number are we comfortable with? For example, the proposal he gave to us is $78,000 per mm-hmm. year for 6 issues. I mean, should we not say, given the numbers that we have, would we be comfortable saying we do not want to consider a magazine of 6 issues per year if it's not, you know, if it's, for example, $70,000 or $69,000, you know, by cutting it $4,000 or $5,000, is that what is going to be this deal breaker for us?
Right. I know as far as the price that he has given us, according to what Alan told me today, he did not leave much room in there as far as cushion. There's also a question of whether Tim from Modern Litho, from our printer, is going to give him the same price deal that he was giving Stan. Alan thinks he will, but he has not said anything definite to Alan yet.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. So there, and I'll be honest with everybody, I was all ready to say tonight, yeah, let's just accept Alan's deal and go with it, because in my heart, I know we can do it. However, there are just too many questions at this point as far as even with Alan to actually give us figures of, okay, if we do this, here's how much we can save. If we do that, we don't have anything definite in front of us as far as those savings. And I know I talked to a few of you board members earlier about this, and I was like all set to say, yes, let's do it. And the more I thought about it, it's like maybe we just need an extra week.
Right.
That's why I don't want the members to think that we're rushing into this, because I personally am trying not to, However, I've been dealing with this since February, and trying to reach agreements and find in-betweens and, you know, listening to ideas, and I just feel like I'm starting to spin my wheels. But within the last couple of days, some things came up that started connecting, and then today with the Vanguard account information, it was like, damn, we could have been, you know, using this, and it's gone untapped. And not that we want to touch the principal, but that interest is there for a reason. And
we haven't lost any money, though. You know, it's still there.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I know, and I realize that. But I don't know. What does anyone else think? Because this is our big issue on the board.
Yeah.
Right now.
Is your issue that we have too many unanswered questions, or that we have too many questions that have just now been answered? Or maybe both.
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 Yeah. I'll tell you right from my heart, I'm still ready to just accept Alan's offer and work out the details with him later, but I want all of us on the board to be comfortable doing, you know, whatever we end up doing.
This is Jim, and I would also like the members to have some level of comfort. We're not going to be able to please everybody, but clearly I think there is enough interest, finally, on the discussion forum, that, you know, I think that it does deserve, you know, us bearing it out a little bit more. And I think when we do revisit this issue, that we do need to have a concrete motion
mm-hmm.
on the table with no blanks. And I think Sandy's point is a good one, that we need to go into this discussion saying, okay, here's what we can afford.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can we get for this? So, and I'm not sure that all of that can be done in a week, but I agree that we definitely don't. I don't think we're ready to take any action tonight on this matter.
We can't. Just so everyone's clear on this, and I've been told this by every single person who submitted a proposal, we cannot let this go past September 1st without the possibility of having a lapse in magazine coverage.
I don't see that it would, really. I think that clearly we need to get these new numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get you're still waiting, Kim, for a few numbers. Is that correct?
I'm just waiting for Alan to put some numbers together for me, and
okay.
Pretty much within the next day or two he
right.
should have those numbers to me.
Yeah.
I can, you know, we can all take a look at the balance sheet that you all have in front of you and see where we can crunch numbers there as far as here's what each of us thinks we can afford.
I guess the one thing I'm not willing to compromise on is I do not want to go to a black and white magazine.
No.
I think that is an enormous step backwards.
No. I don't think we should take, my own personal opinion again, I don't think we should take any steps backwards. Alan pointed this out, and Stan pointed it out to me again this evening. Juggling is a big thing right now. We have the chance to ride a wave that's going on. And, I mean, he said it's more noticeable than ever before. You look on TV, and just about every single commercial has a juggler in it anymore. There's just a popularity that's starting to explode with it. And it's right at the beginning, and they both see this as being our chance to ride a wave of popularity and get the IJA name out there. Neither of them feel that we can do that if we lessen the paper quality, if we go to black and white.
Or go to four issues?
Yeah, they're not big on the four issue idea.
I wouldn't imagine they'd be big on any issue that would, like, reduce the amount of money they're getting.
Well, it's a fairly long time.
Find where they're coming from.
It's a long time waiting in between issues now, at least for me. And, you know, I look forward to that magazine coming, and I think dropping it to four, the members are going to see that as being a cutback in benefits.
I wouldn't mind just having those numbers, though. It might mean that
yeah.
jump change for us to go to an extra to go from 6. I mean, maybe they're not going to reduce it significantly enough for us, but still, I think that's something that has been mentioned time and again. I think we really do owe it to the members to have the numbers there for the four issues. Would people agree?
I agree.
Yeah, we could.
We have to be keen to be doing our homework here.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, Don, what was that?
Say we have to be seen to be doing our homework.
Right. And it seems like we have been, you know, maybe not to the membership, but those of us here on the board should see that homework is being done. It's just sometimes things just don't come together as quickly as you would like them to. And like I said, I would love for us to vote on this tonight and work out the details later, but I know that's not the prudent way of doing things either.
Kim, this is Katja. May I make another suggestion?
Sure.
Perhaps the board could make a motion to allow you to continue negotiating with Alan.
With one or more.
Under the good faith assumption that a way will be found, but that this is the direction that we are going, and that everybody is interested in working to find a solution. I think Alan will work very hard to find a solution with you.
The only correction I would make, that I agree with Katja, but I don't think that we should say that we're limiting this to Alan, because then we have made a choice. I think we need to say that we are still open to our options. I mean, we're not intentionally excluding the other choices. Is that correct? Even though we probably know we have. I mean, are we going to exclude them at this point?
I've been trying not to exclude them.
The quantum offer explicitly said, "I know this is outside your reach, but we're open to negotiation." Now, I read that in it. But have we tried negotiating with him?
With Bill?
Quantum, yeah.
Quantum.
Yeah.
He gave me some cost-cutting measures as well. It's pretty much the same as Alan's.
Did he give you new
figures? He said his big sticking point with his price is Alan's salary request.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's driving up the price about probably $30,000-$35,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandable. You know, you're going to be the person's employee. I can also, by all means, I haven't gotten solid cost-cutting prices from him either, but if we're going to do this, I would rather get it from everyone across the board.
Agreed.
Good thing to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, if anything, I would like... I would like to reword this motion in some way so that we can just table it.
Uh-huh. Suggestions?
I think you should make a totally different motion.
Okay. Suggestion?
Why would we make a completely new motion, Martin?
I don't think you actually need a motion.
Maybe you don't need a motion, but you need a decision to reconsider this next week or whenever you're going to do it after having some more negotiations.
So if we say that we're going to meet again in 2 weeks, and by that time we will have hopefully the appropriate information.
For 1 week.
Continue our...
2 weeks.
Alan and Bill at Quantum have already said they can have the numbers to me within a couple of days from now, like within a day or two.
Yeah, we can continue this discussion on the board forum.
Right. And
right.
If we could really, and I know a week is pushing it for some people, but I know the numbers can be crunched by this weekend.
Okay, then does that include Alan Plotkin too?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the motion would go something like blah, blah, blah. Moves that the board continues to negotiate with the proposed with the magazine
for the publishers.
Yeah, for the publishers, with the understanding that this decision will be made upon August 31st or something like that.
Okay,
I think you just need to table it. There's no motion to make.
Yeah,
I agree.
Just table the motion.
Okay.
One thing that I think we need to figure out, or maybe it is and I just never saw it on the forum, what term of contract is Alan looking for?
All of them are, well, I shouldn't say all of them. The print publishers are looking for 3 years. They are willing to renegotiate after one if something should happen. But they definitely want 3 years. If we can lock into a three-year contract, that saves us money in the long run. Because
then why was, I wonder why Scott Selesnik was very ambivalent about the three-year contract.
I don't know.
Well, if it's expensive, if it's $78,000,
yeah.
If you're losing money, then you don't want to get stuck in it for 3 years. If it's a good contract, you do.
Yeah, well, who are you going to call? I mean,
the thing is, and both of the print publishers said this, if we only take a one-year contract, if they would agree to that, then if prices go up for ink and paper again, and if depending on how many postage rate increases there are, we get stuck with the increases.
Yeah.
If we lock into a three-year like we were with stage rate, then, you know, we keep that price for those 3 years no matter what goes on.
This is Don. I believe the point that Scott was trying to make is that if we're dipping into our accumulated
right.
for this, we can't probably can't do that 3 years in a row.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
1 year contract to get caught up and try and increase membership and get in a better position,
yeah.
That would make sense. On a 3 year, there just isn't that much money if we're not getting extra revenues.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you know, one of the things we have to look at is increased costs, like has been pointed out with our Even a Festival, if we book years in advance, like our magazine, you know, we're locked into a price no matter what their costs go up. If we've got a good contract, you know, we're locked into a good price, be it a little high now.
Right.
And it doesn't seem like anything's going down. The other thing I would like to point out is Bob, that I hope everybody's ready to make a decision in a week, because I know it's a short period of time, and it seems like many aren't tonight, which is fine. But, I mean, it's only a week, so, but, you know, if we can, let's get it together and, you know, just, you know, we're going to have to make a decision within a week. So it's not that long of a time, so we really need to, you know, read our emails and read the forum.
Yeah, keep up.
But you said you'd be sure that the numbers would be in by the weekend?
Yeah.
And I strongly suggest that we all remain flexible, because what we do not want to have come down is that we get a, you know, one or two people aren't available to vote on this, and then we get a split vote. We have got to make a decision.
Yeah.
So we need to really kind of key in on this. This is paramount.
This is Jim. I would feel more comfortable, given the environment of the membership, or at least the portion of the membership that is vocal on this issue, if we could get the numbers by this weekend, allow more than just a few days of open discussion on the forum. I mean, I think this needs to be aired out. Otherwise, we are going to be accused of what we've been accused of recently. So I'm not sure that 1 week from tonight is going to satisfy anybody. And it may, you know, 2 weeks may not satisfy a certain element. But still, I think Don's point that we need to at least be seen to make an effort of keeping this process open and letting everybody have their input.
So did you suggest a week from tonight, Jim?
No, I was suggesting possibly 2 weeks from tonight.
That's too late. That's into September, isn't it?
No, that's the 30th of August.
August 30th. I mean, that pushes it really, really close.
Well, if at the end of a week we see on the forum that we've come to essentially a resolution, then we can get on with it.
Sure.
If we need more time, then we'll take the more time.
Okay.
That sounds good to me.
Can we do this? Do we have to do this by conference call, or can we take a straw poll? Or I mean, not a straw poll, but can we?
I think you should do a conference call, because it should be short if everybody's in agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would suggest a conference call, too.
If you're going to try to do it in a week, I would schedule a meeting for a week, and if before that meeting you've all agreed that you need another week, then you postpone the meeting rather than have the meeting and just adjourn it quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
So we're going to table item 6A for right now. I'm fine with letting 6B go because that's nothing important. I tabled it in Portland and it's not a big deal. I'd rather move on if no one objects to the appointments that we have. Is that okay with everyone?
What is that? Oh, yeah.
Moving on to 6C then. We need someone to make the motion that Jim Maxwell.
Don Lewis will move that.
Excuse me?
Don Lewis will move that.
Okay, great. Don.
Please make it clear what the motion is.
It is Don Lewis moves that Jim Maxwell, Mike, and Marilyn Sullivan be appointed as membership directors.
Thank you.
Seconded by Sandy Brown.
Okay. Anyone opposed? All right. Motion passes by unanimous consent. Item 6D, we need a motion for Martin Frost to be officially appointed as communications director.
Makes sense.
Okay. Need a second.
Jerry seconds.
Right on, Martin.
And anyone opposed?
Actually, I do have some opposition to that. I don't want my hesitation to be interpreted as hating Martin just because of the recent posts that have gone on, but I do still have some reservations about it.
Okay. Well, should we go to roll call then?
Yes.
Okay.
You may want to have a discussion.
You want to move into discussion first?
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. New to this yet.
That's okay.
All right. Great. Any discussion then?
Okay. Well, since I voiced opposition, I guess I should bring it up.
Okay.
I guess it centers on two things. First is what exactly the communication director office entails. It seems like it is basically just a vague title to honor someone but give them authority to, like, do whatever they want. I mean, like, to communicate. Could someone clarify exactly what its duties are and responsibilities?
It's on the website.
Does anyone know? Like,
it's on the website.
Okay.
Basically,
I don't have that on me.
It's basically to oversee communications to the membership so that they are clear and do not cause problems for the IJA.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not quoting the website, but...
Right.
Off of the website, it says, review before publication the clarity, correctness, professionalism, and effect of any important official public communication from officials, board members, or the board. Review forms, letters, reminders, brochures used to communicate with members, former members, and other jugglers.
Okay. That's what I was afraid it was, because, like it was brought up, to distinguish the actual arguments from personal attacks, I don't think that that's an office that needs to exist. And like it's been brought up, I think that the people who are doing the job should be the ones communicating with the members for two reasons. First is so that the members know who's involved with doing that job, and second is to prevent any possible miscommunication that would result from having a middleman. I mean, anytime you increase the links in the chain, you have more of the chance of miscommunicating or not communicating clearly. And it seems kind of silly to have someone in the middle when the person at the front can do it just as well.
Well,
I'd like to comment on that. I don't send out messages under that role that are from other people. I don't send those out under my name. For instance, when Katya wanted an announcement going out about the festival in Portland, I sent it out. I did the editing. I did some editing. I worked with Katya to make it a good announcement, and then I sent it out. I did the physical effort of sending it out through email, but it had her name on it. So it did bear her name. It's not like I'm pretending to be sending this message. For me, I do a lot of email messages to the membership that are from me about announcements, about juggling, about other things, about reminders for membership. And, I mean, those are the main things. But this this suggestion that I'm this middleman is really not apt.
Okay.
I would agree with that. Case in point, this week, the Tony Pezzo issue. Okay, like for example, and Kim, I don't mean to pick on you, but there was a time or two Kim might have forgotten to CC Andrew. Well, of course, if there's anybody who should be CC'd on with this, it would be Andrew. And Martin merely said, "Don't forget to." Here's the correct communication. Okay, here it is. Don't forget to include Andrew because that's the right communication. So it's one of these things where Martin knows the intricacies so well and who needs to know what and who is going to be most effective that he just has the big picture. Martin was just invaluable to me for the 2004 festival, and he helped me do it right. This was the first year that we had the website online. We had the registration online. He made that happen, and you know, people might thought it looked busy. It might have looked a little busy to them, the web page, but it went nearly flawlessly. I mean, it had a few glitches, but it was extraordinarily successful. So he's really the man who makes it happen gracefully. Otherwise, I feel as though, especially with new people on board, things could really become haphazard. Who contacts who? You know, it's Martin who makes things happen smoothly.
Yeah, well, this is Bob. In my past, in my experiences, that several times Martin has, let's say, sometimes been accused of overstepping his authority, but he has recognized that certain messages did not go out to the membership because he is the communications director. And he did not overstep his authority by any means, and he pointed out to the board and said, you know, we need to tell the people this or it's this. And they agreed that he should send it out. And that is somewhat his function, that, you know, there's an overseer of what information goes out, because we can all talk and we get all involved in our stuff, and sometimes we forget to let the membership know, or other people do, or other volunteers who are directors of certain things forget to let the membership know. And it's very important to have somebody to oversee this. And plus, he's a great, you know, like I said, you know, it just proofreader. So that helps too.
That is the job description,
you know.
In fact, I think you brought up a good point. I think it is important to have someone as what you called the overseer, someone who says we should have someone announce this, have someone communicate that. And I would be fine with a communications director with that role. My problem is more that it's the two-in-one, where as soon as you think that something needs to be communicated, then you can do it yourself and without telling anyone or having any sort of – it seems a little too one-man show of a thing to have one man deciding that something needs to be communicated and then just – going ahead and doing it. You know what I mean?
Well,
could you give an example?
For example, like the Tony Pezzo thing.
Well, I think we all agree that it would have been nice to get a heads up. I'm not certain where right and wrong falls. What was correct legally? You know, who could do what?
I think nothing was wrong with the Tony Pezzo thing, and I think that here's my question. Who should have done it? Who should have done what? And I think you'll find that there's nobody who's assigned that job. The fact is that IJ owned the copyright. I, as a member, could have sent him an email. I, as not an official at all, could have sent him an email saying, the IJ owns this copyright. They don't let people put this up. I think you should probably take it down. Now, as a member, I could have brought that to the board, but the point is that it needed to get taken down before lots of people had copied it.
Well, here's sorry I didn't get to discuss this with you beforehand, Martin. It just happened that my objection to that wasn't that someone did it. Because like you were saying, I think it is important that we uphold the copyright when that's what the provision is. My problem was more the authority with which you did it. And
which is what? What authority did I to have?
It was, you didn't say, as someone who's very important in the IJA, I command you to take it down. But it seemed like that was the tone of the message.
Well, I said I was the communications director, which
okay.
I am.
Yes. And so that was what I was having a problem with.
Alan Plotkin sent them a message saying they could put it up. He has no authority. I mean, you're not complaining about that?
Yeah, if I can break in here, and I'll admit this to everybody, and I did email Martin that I just thought the tone of the email was rather strong. However,
it had to be.
When I read through all the other communications that had gone on,
exactly,
it made sense.
Yes.
Right.
And that's, I only wish that I had read all of those before reading that last email, because then I would have understood right from the beginning, and I thank you for sending those, because it did clarify things.
Importantly, Andrew also said he felt it was completely appropriate. If he had not, then
right.
It would have been more of an issue. But.
Right.
This is Don, to jump in here on this one. I think Martin did the correct thing, and that wasn't the problem, but I think we need to recognize that there are sometimes the IJA needs to act, and it is going to be unpopular. And on those occasions, we have to be able to predict that it's going to be unpopular, and we've got to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I could suggest something, instead, like one of the things Martin was saying is, like, there would be nobody other than him that would provide proper procedure for it. And I think half of the problem is the lack of prior communication to the board about messages sent. And I think that could be solved by, like, I would definitely agree to a communications director who did have, like, an oversight function where was searching out for communications that needed to be go out, and then, like, checked it with the board, and I would prefer the board to actually send the communications, because I think then that would solve all of the problems while still giving responsibility and, like, an important task to the communications director.
I think the board would be wasting their time discussing membership renewal messages and festival announcements,
yeah.
Which is and
okay,
we're struggling
I'm
to announce.
Fine
I mean,
also
that's the type of stuff I usually do.
Okay, how about extending it to membership, renewals? I mean, that's fine with me, too.
Well,
I frankly don't want to do any of that. I mean, I'm doing all my own stuff. That's why we have Martin, is because I don't want to do that crap.
Right, that's what I meant to say. The membership renewals, I'm fine with delegating that to the communications director also.
Well, we have a job description for you. Does it need to be clarified, or does it need, not clarified, but do you need to have a list of tasks on there? The thing is that it's not all listable, because, you know, for example, I'll find any reason in any given week that I need to contact Martin. I mean, half the time he doesn't act as communications director because he's seeking out things. It's half the time it's because we need his help, so we seek him out. I mean, that's
okay.
The way it is for me. I'll call him up and I'll, right, Martin? I mean, can I call you on any number of occasions and say, you need to know about this, and how should we approach this, or what's the best way to do this?
Yeah.
And I think that I see your point, Will, completely. I think that this was a problem for some people in the past, primarily Dave, and I'm not sure that we have those same problems this board, but if somebody does, if somebody wants to, you know, make some suggestions on how we can make this better, I would be amenable to that. But I, having worked in this situation for so long, from experience, I can say I don't have those problems. I think probably Will, too, if you know, if we, when you start to do some more tasks, you know, yourself, like whether it's going to be making phone calls or whatever, you'll probably find yourself, you know, calling Martin or asking Martin his opinion on this or whatever, whether it's
You don't have to be communications director to be able to ask Martin's advice.
Right, that's true. But that is his role. And, you know, he is certainly available for that. And
I mean, I certainly, one of the things I provide is some historical information about the IGA. Now, that doesn't, as Will says, I don't need to be a communications director to do that. But I think I have some knowledge and information and maybe suggestions. And I don't insist on my suggestions being accepted, but I have ideas that that I often put forward when the board or a festival director is considering, you know, some possibilities. That, you know, whether I need to be communications director for that, I don't know. I communications director is, you know, a title that does give me, in some sense, the authority to look over things like the festival brochure to make sure they don't mislead people.
Mm-hmm. This is Bob. I'd just like to point one thing, you know, that, I mean, one of the things we have to look at is that, you know, we're all volunteers here. And I think, you know, in some of us, and not particularly me, we're not the most pleased to be surprised by that email or that Martin sent, but we're all volunteers. And we have to always recognize that we all are part-time volunteers. We're not going to always do, you know, what everybody likes. And I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but, I mean, in the end, I think it was very correct. But, I mean, just, you know, there may have been better ways to put it. But, I mean, I know myself, I've posted because I'm busy at work or something that's not probably the best post I've ever made because, you know, I'm at work. I'm busy, you know. You know, like I say, I think we've all been there. So, I mean, I don't think that's, you know, the judgment of everything. You know, like I say, it's just I think we need communications director, you know, and he, you know, Martin has served us well, and he has, you know, invariably been right about most things. So, like I say, and this wasn't even a slip-up. It was just a perception of how it was done. And like they say, Andrew Conway came up there and said, you know, he's absolutely right. We can't let this happen. And there is a real argument not to letting him put it out there. Because if Anthony Gatto or somebody is really attractive with their full routine, people will buy that DVD.
Yeah.
You can't let them put it on for free.
Find it.
You know, I mean that's what sells. To a certain degree, I mean, that one routine may sell. So, I mean, we've got to watch out for our own interests.
Yeah. Well, stepping away from the exact Tony Pezzo situation a second, what I'm hearing is sort of that there is a role, but even in this conversation, I've heard it narrowed down to specific things. For example, mm-hmm. The communications director should be someone who is consulted for proofreading and copy editing. He is someone who should be given the power or the task of reminding people for membership renewals. He is someone to be contacted for historical advice and or procedural issues. And I am fine with all of those specific tasks. What I am not fine with is then expanding that into a nebulous task of doing anything that you think is important in communicating to the membership.
Where is that?
That with that task,
Where's the example?
Where did
he do it?
Where what?
Where's that example? When did
Martin
place?
Do it?
Where has that happened before?
Yeah.
Oh. I would see the Tony Pezzo thing as an example of that. I mean, if there hadn't been such controversy over, or if it hadn't been such a big deal to some people, we wouldn't have even heard about it. And he was speaking as communications director.
Well,
or
but I think he's pointing out a very valid point. I'm very concerned as a board director, and I'm glad he showed me that.
Yeah,
He CC'd
I mean, I don't like that, somebody put on their whole clip of their prize winning, you know.
Trying not to, okay, maybe I'm miscommunicating here. I'm not saying that it was bad to have him want to take it down. What I am saying is that I think that it's bad to have someone have the authority to do that without telling the board about it.
Okay, I did tell the board. I CC'd Kim on my initial email to Tony Pezzo. I also CC'd Andrew Conway.
I had thought it went out to the entire board, but yes, it was communicated.
Alan Plotkin's complaint later he sent to the entire board.
Right.
Okay.
The board didn't see my original message that went to Tony Pezzo and Alan Plotkin as well as you.
Right.
Oh, so you
not till later.
Kim.
I CC'd Kim on the initial contact.
Oh, well, I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said he CC'd me. I knew that.
Yes, yeah.
Right, well, I thought...
I didn't think the whole board wanted to get involved with it.
Yeah.
And it's a standard policy of the IGA, so I CC'd Kim.
Yeah.
Kim,
okay.
This is Katra.
Yeah.
It sounds to me that one of Will's concerns is when the communications director makes a communication in the name of the IJA that is outside daily,
the realm of normal duty,
that the board gets CC'd, not just the chair, but the whole board. Maybe that doesn't have to be a motion or anything, just a direction to the communications
right.
chair that might address Will's concerns.
Okay.
Yeah, that would.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Martin, to just
sure. I mean,
the
this,
entire board?
This is the one case where this has come up. It came up 2 years ago when
right.
Vova did exactly the same thing. And I don't remember who got CC'd at that time. Maybe somebody else already had seen the video posted. But, you know, in this one case, sure, I'm happy to CC the board.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Will?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't aware that Martin had emailed you.
Yeah. Do we still need to go to roll call, folks? Oh, did I hear a question there?
Call the question.
Okay. Bob moves that Martin Frost be officially appointed as communication director.
Communications director, that's plural.
He's so good.
Yes. And we have a second by Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to call a roll call, or should we do it roll call just to be safe?
Yeah,
you can, just ask if there's any.
You can just say if anybody objects.
Anyone object? All right. If no objection, motion moves unanimously approved.
Thank you, Martin.
Kim, for future, you might just say, are there any objections? Are there any abstentions?
Okay. Thank you.
That's okay.
Still getting used to.
Thanks, Will,
That's
for your question.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will.
Hi, Martin. Okay. For any. Like
yeah.
harsh words. Or
no,
whatever.
Thanks for raising the question because
that's
what you have.
It's, yeah, it's an important question.
It's a good thing.
Okay.
We're glad you brought them up.
All right, gang, we're running really long.
Really?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I tried to pack. We had a lot on our plate tonight, and we still have a few more things unless people want to table.
Table my motion.
Just take them in order.
All right, let's 7A. There's a motion that the IJA move all monetary assets currently on account with NetBank to Bank of America. I had originally written this motion. I did, when Andrew Conway questioned the board chair being in the position of treasurer, said that I would be willing to remove this for this meeting. However, now that Bob has agreed to step in as treasurer, is this something that we still want to table until September, or do we wish to discuss and take care of it now?
This is Bob.
Does it even
not, because one of my concerns when I turned it down last time
mm-hmm.
was the bizarre banking we have. I mean, I've dealt with financial crimes for the last 12 years. And not that this has anything to do with crimes, but I know good banks, and I know bad banks, and I know ones that are friendly, customer-friendly. B of A, Bank of America, is customer-friendly, and I really wish we'd go ahead with this. because I've agreed to take this over, but it's going to be a nightmare if we don't.
Okay. Does this have to be a motion? I mean, this is just procedural.
I just have one comment. We have bills, at least the phone bill, being paid, and I think from the net bank account. I asked Kim some information, and she didn't get back to me, so I can't confirm that.
We can, all the electronic transfers that presently take place through NetBank can easily be transferred over to Bank of America.
I understand. I just want to make sure that's done before the money is moved away.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I would actually, this is Jim, I would actually probably like to see the motion reworded to say that the IJA gives the treasurer, although we haven't actually appointed Bob treasurer yet, so maybe we should do that first, but
mm-hmm.
I would even move that the IJA treasurer be allowed to proceed with consolidating the IJA's assets, and we don't necessarily have to I think that is the ultimate goal, is it not? To consolidate the assets, be they with net bank or guarantee or whatever accounts we have out there.
That sounds great.
Motion, as I'm hearing it, is that whoever moves to appoint Bob Newman as, you're going to have to give him a name, a managing treasurer.
Well, wouldn't it be treasurer pro tem?
Well, he's doing all treasurer duties. You're breaking this up into two things. So,
okay.
Well, you can change the treasurer's duties and still call him treasurer.
Yeah, because on the website I'm listed as bookkeeper. Treasurer and bookkeeper are already separated.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, X moves to appoint Bob Newman as treasurer, and that he be allowed to consolidate IJA assets.
Oh, that gets rid of two motions at one shot. That would be.
Or that he be allowed to proceed with consolidating
IJA
assets.
And Will Pendon seconds that.
Who made it?
I'll move.
Sorry, I thought someone already.
Who was?
Who was that moved?
Jim Maxwell.
Jim, that's what I thought. Okay.
I'll second it again.
Okay, so that
takes
off
your
trust.
Do I hear three times, Will?
Alrighty. Any discussion on that? I don't think. All right. If there is no opposition, anyone opposed? All right. Passes by unanimous consent.
Any abstentions?
I'm sorry. Any abstentions? Just keep giving me that verbal.
That's okay.
Slap on the wrist. All right. Passes by unanimous consent.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes. Thank
you. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Oh, no, look how fast you got through that one. That was a piece of cake.
All righty. Item 7B, and I wasn't sure if this needed to be a motion at all to approve the FEST budget. Does that really need to be a motion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
This is Bob. I don't think that we even need to go there.
Well, let's just wipe that off.
Okay.
7C, motion to accept Andrew Conway's competition rule that competitors may use copyright, royalty-free, or public domain recordings. Should a competitor elect to use copyright recording, they must provide written evidence that they have obtained performance and synchronization rights from the owner of the copyright to use that recording in IJA competitions and videos.
Is it possible to table that till next time? I have a few questions still about that. And
I think there's a lot of questions that people expressed, and I suggest that the motion actually be made and tabled.
Okay.
So that it can be formally reconsidered next time as continuing business.
Okay, so I'll make the motion, and we'll table it then, if that's okay with everyone. Anyone opposed? And I forget that second phrase, Katya, again.
Any abstentions?
Any abstentions.
No, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, for tabling.
Okay.
That's okay.
Sure, that time I remembered
better
it.
Better overkill.
And I wanted to abstain.
Oh.
I'll abstain.
All righty. And our last order of business, item 7D, Don Lewis moves, whereas the IJA is seeking to increase membership, whereas the IJA charter mandates giving assistance to jugglers, presumably including one to have yet to learn, whereas the IJA does not have basic instructional or promotional material available, Be it resolved that the IJA develop a series of basic instructional sheets which will include information about the IJA, be clearly branded, and have a common professional look and feel. These sheets will be supplied as PDF files available on the IJA website. Input and participation by interested members is encouraged. Some aspects of this project may be outsourced depending on the resources available. The project should be developed such that translations are easily accommodated.
Oh, huzzah. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Any questions on that?
Yeah, this is Sandy. Are we talking about a brochure and instructional sheets?
No, actually, I'm thinking more of instructional sheets that have a promotional facet to them.
Okay. So you don't need to... These are things that would just be primarily online that people could print out. We don't need to go to a printer to print this out.
I don't think so, unless we want to print up pads of them and hand them out or something like that.
Right.
My vision of this would be that if you want a bunch of them, you go down to your local Kinko's and you duplicate them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Kim, you want a second before discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyone to second that?
This is Jim Maxwell. I'll second.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
This is Jerry. I have a question.
Sure.
Under which volunteers' purview would responsibility to see that this happens fall under?
I suspect it would fall under mine.
Great.
Can I add that to the motion that Don volunteers to take this project on?
Yes, assuming that if I need resources, I will call for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
I have an interesting idea about the implementation. I'll post about it on the board tomorrow or something.
Okay.
Good.
Great.
Any further discussion? Okay. If not, we have a vote. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry.
Okay. We have a motion by Don, seconded by Jim. Is there anyone opposed to this motion? Any abstentions?
Yay.
Good girl.
I remember.
Everybody abstains.
All right. If
stop
not,
communicating.
Motion passes by unanimous consent.
Oh.
You all.
Good job. Kim, you're doing great.
Oh, I'm trying. All righty. On to next meeting.
John Petriano, I have a question.
Go ahead, John.
Where does the non-approval of my budget leave me budget-wise?
Good question. I don't remember if the board actually approved budget last year.
No.
No, we just passed it around. I mean, it was constantly a live document. It was always changing and moving.
So you're good to go.
Okay, so I'm free to assume that what you guys have seen is doable.
Right. Yeah. You have no objections from us at this point.
Right.
Great. Okay.
Sounds
thank
great.
You very much.
Yeah, this is Bob. We didn't see a budget. We still haven't seen a budget for Portland. So, I mean, I can't imagine you need approval by any means.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's not even a question.
Okay, now we have our next meeting to worry about. Do we want to do what we had talked about with the magazine is going... scheduling it for next Wednesday, but if we find that we need extra time, we'll move it to the 30th, or?
Two things. One is, what happened to my motion? I had intended
one? I'm
to table
sorry.
It. The one about calling people?
Oh,
that
you
was
probably...
the extended agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know.
It's okay.
We can add it on. The one about calling
I don't know what,
people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with tabling it. It's not like a time-sensitive thing, and we're already going pretty
okay.
long.
I just wanted
to make
not
that
making it
drop off into the, you know.
No, That's my fault. I
want
probably
to make the motion and then table it, or do you just want to hold it for the next agenda?
I'll just hold it.
Okay. It'll make life go a little faster tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm making note to make sure that it gets on the very next agenda, so... I apologize for that.
Oh, that's fine.
With the magazine and that thing.
If you forget,
jumbled.
We'll remind you.
And then my second comment about the time. Do you think we could have it next Thursday instead of next Wednesday? Be planning on that anyway, because My first day of class is next Wednesday, so.
Oh.
Heaven.
That's fine with me.
I'm fine with that. I'm usually the one that objects to Thursday because it's my juggling night, but given that this will, we expect this
should be
a short meeting, then I'm fine with that. And even if I'm not, then, I mean, I'm only one voice here, and if I have to miss juggling, then so be it.
Well, the 24th's my first day of school, but that's okay. I can handle it.
Okay. This will be Thursday.
Everybody okay?
Thursday.
So everybody can make it next Thursday?
August
same time?
24th?
Yeah.
Time?
This time.
Dawn, and I can't.
What was that?
I say this is Dawn. It's probable that I can't, but I can try.
Oh.
Okay.
You could also give your vote by proxy.
Yeah, that would work.
Okay.
If it's it is going to be a short meeting, so, I mean.
Yeah, it's going to be very short.
If it's more convenient for everyone, we can do it Wednesday night.
I'm not sure about the legality of the proxy vote that came up a couple of years ago, but I don't think
it
matters. If he just expresses his opinion and he's not there and he agrees with everybody else, it's no big deal.
Right.
Okay. Then it's still.
I might be able to phone in. It just depends on where in the race I am at that point.
You're going to be in a juggling race while you're IJ board meeting? Sailing, oh.
All well, Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah, why don't we do it Wednesday then? I don't want to.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it Wednesday. Yeah. Should we keep it the 8 p.m. Eastern?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought this was a really great meeting.
I'm sorry it took so long, gang.
Oh, no.
There was a lot on our plate that we needed to deal with.
Productive, at least.
Who did, okay, we're not done yet, but whoever did the minutes before I came along, could they stay on
yes.
the phone afterwards?
I will do that.
Okay. And that is Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, and now our last item. We need.
Do we want to set the regular meeting also at this point? And that way you don't have to do it at the end of your special
yeah,
session.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a very good idea.
The third Wednesday puts us at September 20th. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Good for me.
It's for me.
Okay.
That's good for me.
Good idea, Katja. Thank you.
Okay, I just.
Same time.
Yeah. Okay, now a movement to adjourn.
I move to adjourn. Will Penman.
I'll second that. Don't move.
Okay.
Adjournment doesn't need a second.
That's true.
Who is the second? Oh, okay.
I don't need one.
Okay.
But it does need a third.
And according to my computer clock, it says it's 10:41 p.m.
It does need a vote.
Oh.
By unanimous consent, you know, all that.
Okay. Anyone opposed to adjourning? Any abstentions? I remembered. Okay. We have adjourned at 10:41 p.m. Eastern Time.
And we'll see you all next week. Yeah.
Yes. As soon as I get numbers, I will get them emailed and put on the forum to everyone.
Okay.
Okay. Kim, I do know that the first time I was appointed as board secretary, I don't know if that's just going to continue on or if you ever want to get an official appointment.
At our September meeting, we should do an official appointment.
That's there are other positions, too, that are currently hanging. So.
And I have some responses. Most people have said they would continue, except for Rick.
Okay, great. If you could send that list of responses, then
yep.
we can act on it in September's meeting.
Yep.
Yes, and one of the things that I think we need to address is, do we want to accept all positions by people who are saying they want to continue?
Well, I assume that you wouldn't have offered it to them if you didn't want
to. We didn't offer it to anybody. I just asked if they were interested in the job.
Yeah. Okay, everyone. Have a good rest of your evening. Yeah, vote for passing zone.
Oh, 07.
Yep.
07.
Yep.
Okay, Jim, you still with me?
Yes, I'm still with you.
What time?
Okay, goodbye.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.